I got an improv. The story about me getting the improv was that I was walking down the street and a race car pulls up and the guy says, "Hey, you're funny. You're the funniest guy I've ever seen. Or my name is not Dale Earnhardt." And that was an improv. The real way was that I found a flyer.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss coming to you once again, another quarantine edition of NYG Weekly. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Smash subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. You know the drill. Also this week, I hope that after last episode's debacle, our mic quality is fixed and it's better. Did a little bit of a test before the episode and we should be all good there. All right, let's get into everything. We've got COVID-19, DeAndre Baker paying people off, Leonard Williams contract situation. Good amount to talk about given the fact that the NFL has been relatively quiet. The other major sports are starting back up. EPL actually underway right now, following the Liverpool-Burnley game on my phone. But TBT tournament, which has actually been really fun and giving us a taste of what the NBA bubble life might be like. NHL just announced that August 1st is when they're going to be restarting their games. There's going to be 5 games on August 1st. Baseball sort of finally figured it out, although there are a bunch of players opting out. And the elephant in the room is what is going to happen with football. So a lot to discuss. Weiss, I know when you sent your pre-pod agenda, you had DeAndre Baker first, and that's obviously what's on everyone's minds right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy story. And I think for people that don't really know, obviously DeAndre Baker was arrested May 14th, I think it was, charged with armed robbery. Allegedly him and Quentin Dunbar, who plays for the Seahawks, formerly the Redskins, robbed a bunch of people of like $70,000 worth of stuff, watch, cash, jewelry, other stuff. Immediately after that, we're like, okay, DeAndre Baker screwed because armed robbery, pointing a gun at somebody, like that's, you know, you're looking at some serious jail time. Then we heard, well, he has witnesses that claim he's innocent. And immediately, you know, anybody that knows anything about these type of cases, yeah, knows that typically this means, you know, somebody got paid off, right? Like, somebody got some cash to change their story.
Someone got their beak wet to shut up.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
The problem is that what we're realizing now is DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar are the dumbest criminals I think I have ever seen, or at least in recent memory. Basically doing all this through Instagram, sending DMs, hey, come to my lawyer's office, and I'm just summarizing. You guys can go read the article at the New York Daily News.
Involving the middleman coach who is apparently a Miami area youth football coach who has connections to a bunch of these guys, but
he's also like a nightclub.
Nightclub promoter, yeah. From
yeah.
Miami. So, you know, this guy's got a bunch of shady connections. The bottom line is, like you said, anyone with half a brain realized that as soon as these guys retracted their statements, there were payoffs involved. It's no secret, but usually when these things happen, you're smart enough not to put them in writing, online, in text messages, in Instagram DMs. Remarkably stupid. And to me, I mean, don't get me wrong, the act itself of robbing someone at gunpoint when you're worth millions of dollars is an egregious crime. Of course. How these guys had 2 multimillionaires facing 10 years in prison and only managed to extort them for $55,000 might be the worst part of this entire story. You have to get at least mid six figures out of these guys to shut up and go away. There was a part of the story said that one guy only got $5,000 and then split it with a fourth person involved. Yeah, how are you going to walk away from that with $2,500?
He basically got another stimulus check.
Yeah. That's good. I don't think I saw that one on Twitter. That's good. He got another stimulus check.
Yeah. And then just the way this entire thing went down. Like, I read this excerpt from the article where it says, the new warrant says in the video that Michael Grieco, who's the lawyer of Quentin Dunbar, is leaving his 24th floor office, taking the elevator lobby, and bringing Johnson and the four alleged victims back to his office at 2:26 p.m. They eventually leave the office and meet an unknown person in the lobby, according to the warrant, and then Johnson and the unknown person take the elevator from the lobby at 2:34 p.m. During the elevator ride, the unknown person removes a black bag from his shoulders, opens it, and removes the money. The person also shows the open bag to Johnson, and you can see a large quantity of money. Johnson then takes the money, the warrant reads. Then everyone met back in front of the lawyer's office, and at approximately 4 p.m., Moretti, who is, I believe, the lawyer for DeAndre Baker, received a notification indicating that there had been a change in testimony from the four victims and witnesses. So it's like they did this thing in areas where there is cameras and at the lawyer's office. And then also they documented all this through DMs. And it's just unbelievable how stupid someone can be. Because these things, like you said, these things are common. Like, people pay off victims all the time. Like, this happens
all the time.
All the time. Like, it happens more frequently than people actually realize. But you just don't see people being this stupid about it.
Yeah. Not to make a Breaking Bad comparison, but even Saul Goodman in his early days was very good at keeping all this stuff off the record. If you're a multimillionaire and this is the type of lawyer that you're able to afford, I mean, again, this just adds into the stupidity of everything that's transpired over the last few months. Between the actual crime, between paying them off and leaving evidence of it everywhere, from the victims only demanding $55,000, and then DeAndre Baker hiring, who apparently the worst lawyer in all Florida.
Yeah, like, he was a shady lawyer from the start. Like, if you saw the type of statements that they were releasing, it just didn't look professional. Like, it looked like this guy was, I mean, I don't want to question his law degree, but it's like, is this dude really a lawyer? Like, he was releasing statements from his Instagram page with Getty Images pictures of DeAndre Baker and the caption being his entire... Like, it just never looked professional. Like, typically when you see these type of statements, they're released from the law firm's official Twitter account, and there's, like, a seal, and it's like, okay, this is professional. I mean, this dude was leaving captions on Instagram pictures of DeAndre Baker that had a million spelling errors. And you're like, what the hell is this? You know, like, is this
guy dude, got his law degree from University of Phoenix?
Yeah, I mean, come on. So, DeAndre Baker, I mean...
But again, the writing was on the wall, right?
Right.
I mean, not that... Again, this is where we go back to Dave Gettleman, and people like to, you know, go, oh, Dave Gettleman didn't know that DeAndre Baker would rob somebody. Of course Dave Gettleman didn't know that DeAndre Baker would go out and rob somebody. But all it does is it plays into this general consensus of DeAndre Baker's lazy, he's stupid, he's falling asleep in meetings. A lot of people thought he was a reach when the Giants traded back into the first round originally. There were a lot of people from Georgia who didn't believe that he was a first-round pick, and there were a bunch of red flags out there. So, again, you can't just be spouting culture, and then you're bringing in guys like DeAndre Baker, who is asleep in team meetings, apparently doesn't seem to give a shit at all. We haven't even brought up Aldrick Rosas, who is arrested for crashing into a car drunk at 100 miles an hour. I mean, we can go on and on, but, you know, it all ties back to that. It seems that everyone knew except the Giants.
Well, here's the thing. In order to, from the on-field perspective, like, we have to be real with ourselves about DeAndre Baker, because I see a lot of people saying certain things about Baker, like, oh, he was playing so much better in the second half of the season, blah, 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 blah. Not really. So the way, to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, like, when I watched DeAndre Baker, for about 3/4 of the year last year, he looked like he shouldn't have been on the football field.
He looked lost.
Like, he looked like an amateur playing with a bunch of pros. Like, I feel like if you step on the field, you probably look as bad as DeAndre Baker. No offense.
That's being kind.
You know, like, I'm just like, he didn't look like he deserved to be on the football field. Like, you could watch him, like, if you watch just him after the third or fourth play of a game, right? Like, you'd be like, okay, this guy, are we sure this guy's an NFL player? Like, what's going on here? Is this a replacement? Like, what is this? Like, he did not look like he deserved to be on an NFL field. The final quarter of the season, he was just a really bad cornerback. Like, he went from, is this guy an NFL player?
Marginal. Sure.
Yeah, like, is this guy, we went from saying, okay, is this guy an NFL player to, okay, he's just a really bad cornerback, right? And people started to describe that as, well, he got better. Well, yeah, he got better, but he was still horrible. Like, his ceiling for his rookie season was he was horrible, right? So, factor that in with all the stuff that we read about DeAndre Baker after the draft, during the season. And then you see this, and it's like, well, not that we should have saw this coming, but it's like, are you surprised? Like,
right. DeAndre Baker. And on top of that, it's the fact that the Giants liked him so much, they wanted the extra year on his rookie deal to trade up for him.
Right. And then you trade up for him, knowing all this stuff about him. Now, where Dave Gettleman is sort of to blame, outside of the fact that he drafted DeAndre Baker, is that, like you said, nobody's blaming Dave Gettleman for DeAndre Baker breaking the law. DeAndre Baker breaking the law. Where the blame for Gettleman is that you walk around touting the importance of culture, right? It's important. It's a key ingredient to winning. I always say, you know, there's two types of culture. There's a winning culture and there's a losing culture. And everything else just doesn't matter, okay? The Giants, they don't have a good culture where their players don't break the law or do something controversial, because we saw this offseason two players getting arrested, right?
Right.
DeAndre Baker.
And it would be one thing if they were shitty people, but they were at least good at football.
Right. Or if they were just good people, but it's like they're not good people and just bad football players. They're shitty people and bad at football.
Right.
So it's like, you know what I mean? So it's not a situation where you can blame Gettleman. Is like, okay, you say, you know, culture is important, blah 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 blah, but not only are you not winning games, but you also have people breaking the law,
right,
and doing things off the field. So it's like, what's the culture? Because you ain't winning, we know that. And then also a guy that you traded up in the first round, knowing that there's some stuff involved with him. But you still took him. And now what? So yeah, right, that's where you can blame Dave Gettleman. And nobody's sitting here saying Dave Gettleman's at fault for DeAndre Baker breaking the law.
No, absolutely.
What we're saying is, you told me you don't have a culture problem. Right? That's what you said. You said, I don't have a culture problem anymore. 1 year later, still losing games, and now two players arrested in one offseason. And it wasn't even like your average offseason. It was an offseason that was basically everyone was quarantined inside.
Right.
So it was like, if there's any offseason where nobody gets arrested, it's probably the one where there's a global pandemic and you're basically have to social distance yourself from other people. Right?
I mean, yes and no. I'll deviate a little bit from that and play devil's advocate, where these guys are probably so bored that they just go out and do stupid shit.
Maybe, but I guess my point is that
they should be.
Yeah, my point is that the majority of players are, you know, inside or
taking this
away
seriously,
from
spending their time with family, you know,
right,
doing individual workouts, not
traveling, not going out at night where you can get a DUI. Although we saw with Aldrick Rosas, is not true. You know, a lot of places are closed. This is typically the offseason where it's quiet.
About Aldrick.
I mean, it was a second DUI. The first
second
one
DUI
I think was with the Giants, right?
No,
the first
but I
one
think
happened when he was
it
in college. They knew about it, but it wasn't with the Giants.
Right.
Again, it's the same concept, right? I mean, it's not the crime is not nearly as bad as what's going on with DeAndre Baker, right? But it's,
I don't know. I would disagree with that. Dude, he could.
You
like,
think so?
Yeah, dude, you're driving 100 miles an hour drunk at 8 in the morning. Like, very good chance that he could have killed someone. At least with DeAndre Baker, like, I don't know. yeah, there was a gun involved, but he didn't kill someone. You know, I don't know. To me, I don't know. I would argue that Rosas's crime is worse. The fact that the Giants knew he had a previous one. The fact that, and again, it's a weird thing with their kickers. Like,
yeah,
none of the kickers that they're, I don't want to say covering up crimes for, because it's not like they're covering anything up with Aldrich. But these guys just aren't good enough to even warrant, you know, staying on the roster or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm just sort of perplexed by it. And you look at the mugshot after he was arrested. That's a guy that needs help. That's a guy that should probably take a year off football and go to rehab. He looked rough.
Yeah, I did see the mugshot. It was bad. He had some scratches on his face, so I think he did get injured in the collision. I see what you're saying. It's just, I guess the bigger picture is the Giants do still have a culture problem, right?
Right.
Like this sums it up. The Giants still have a culture problem because they A, don't win games.
I think that's the biggest part.
Yeah, it is the biggest part. It's probably the most important part. And B, they have players that break the law off the field and have players that get arrested, right? And that's Dave Gettleman's fault.
Every team's going to have players that do stupid shit and get arrested. But I think most Giants fans would agree that if this team was good and had promise and was winning football games, I think everyone would be a lot happier and would be less prone to doing stupid shit off the field.
Yeah, and also if the general manager didn't tout the importance of culture and didn't proclaim...
I get what you're saying. He brought this on himself.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that he says, he basically brought all... Like, listen, when you sit there and you say, I don't have a culture problem anymore, culture is so important, blah, 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 and we're a couple years into it and you're still not winning games and, you know, you have players that you brought in and you kept get arrested, it's like, and it's not just that. You had Golden Tate get suspended 4 games for performance-enhancing drugs.
Yep.
No matter what you say about it, he got suspended for using PEDs. You still signed him. So it's just stuff like that. It's like, wait, this doesn't align with what you say. Like, what you're saying one thing, but you're
doing team another, or allowing another to happen under your watch.
So and that's where the blame is.
I don't know if this makes much sense, but in a way, I'd be more okay. I'm not okay with Aldrich's DUI and DeAndre Baker robbing people. I'm just talking generally culture-wise. I think I'd just be more okay with having a guy on the team who's a piece of shit, or a few guys on the team who are a piece of shit, if the team wasn't very hypocritical about it and was just like, we're bringing these people in because all we want to do is win games.
Like, yeah.
Don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining, basically. Don't bring in these guys and say you're fixing the culture only for them to go out there and be committing crimes left and right, lose football games and all that stuff. I'd rather you just be straightforward with me.
Yes. Like, don't sit here and tell me, like, bingo, exactly. That's where the blame for Dave Gettleman comes from, is because he's basically pissing on us, and he's telling us it's rain, right? Like, he's telling us it's important to have players that, you know, are clean players, right? No off-the-field
issues.
The
lunch pail guys. First guy in, last guy out, studying tape.
Right. Football first guys.
Yeah.
But it's like, you drafted DeAndre Baker, and you traded up to draft him. Like, even before the arrest, he contradicts everything that Dave Gettleman has said he wants in a football player. Like, if you look at the type of stuff that was written about, like, Baker was regarded as, like, the best corner or one of the best corners in the draft that year. And it wasn't really a strong corner class, but he was projected to, he was like, people thought he was one of the best. Well, why do you think he fell? Because of the off-the-field stuff. Like, there were teams that didn't have him on the board because of some of the stuff that was coming out from his time at Georgia. He already contradicted everything that Dave Gettleman was about. And then you factor in that he gets arrested a year later and he was horrible on the football field.
And it's sleeping in meetings.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, come on. Like, you're saying one thing, but your actions contradict that. So it's right. like that goes back to what we talk about with Dave Gettleman, where there's no real direction with yeah. him.
And you not know what to, I mean? So and this is kudos to me for what I think is about to be a good transition. It's not about just the what the players that are doing off the field is wrong and criminal. It's also about some players like Leonard Williams, who was brought in here for some alleged tryout and whose contract negotiations have become some quote-unquote distraction and have become one of the only things that Giants fans are talking about right now.
Right. And I think you want to transition into the Leonard Williams situation.
That is exactly what I would like to do.
So, well, before we go, do we think if there's football in 2020, right, which is still a huge question mark, is DeAndre Baker a Giant?
No, I don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. I think if this is true, and there's no reason to think it's not, I mean, yeah. it's, there's hard evidence in there.
I do think there's football, by the way. I know we have this later, and I just transitioned to Leonard Williams, but I do think that there is football in 2020.
Okay, but you and I are both agreeing that DeAndre Baker's time with the Giants is all but over.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Leonard Williams. This topic has been a funny one to me, right? Because we've seen people go from Dave Gettleman is going to get him to sign a contract that pays him $10 to $12 million per year to people go from, well, you don't want Dave Gettleman to double down his mistake, right? Like, people have gone from that excuse, from that reason to that reason in a matter of a couple months. Here's the thing with Leonard Williams, okay? And I've tried to explain this to people on Twitter. Leonard Williams was franchise tagged for $16.1 million this season. That is guaranteed. He signed it. It's guaranteed. He's going to make that amount of money. It doesn't matter if he has one tackle or if he has 100 tackles or if he has one sack or 10 sacks. He is going to be guaranteed $16.1 million this season. Now, are we with me so far, right, Ethan?
Yes, I am with
Let's,
you.
Let's say Leonard Williams plays like the Leonard Williams that we've seen the last 5 years, right? Good player, good against the run, gets quarterback pressures, not a big sack guy, just an average to good football player, right?
Correct.
Leonard Williams is still and gets to next season injury-free, plays 16 games. I mean, he's very durable. He's only missed like one game in his entire career. Let's say then Leonard Williams gets to free agency next year. Right? Leonard Williams is still going to get, at the bare minimum, if he's just the Leonard Williams we've seen the last 5 years in 2020, he's going to get himself a long-term deal or a short-term deal, but he's going to guarantee himself 10 to 15 or 5 to 10 to 15 million dollars guaranteed. Right, and that's the only thing that matters with contracts is guaranteed dollars.
Yep.
So, let's say he's guaranteed $10 million next year, right? Let's say he has an average year, like he's a year that he's had his entire career. Gets to free agency next year. He's going to be guaranteed $10 million, right? Signs a three-year, $35 million or $30 million deal. He's only 26, right? And he gets $10 million guaranteed. So, that means in 2 years, he was guaranteed $26 million off the bat, right? He was guaranteed 16.1 this year, 10 million next year.
Right.
You're then looking at, which is 26 million guaranteed. So my question is, this year, Leonard Williams, why would he sign a long-term deal with the Giants if they're not guaranteeing him at the bare minimum 32 to 35 and more or more
yeah, but
guaranteed
this has been
dollars.
Said since the Giants acquired Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams has all the leverage in the world on Dave Gettleman. He has no reason to back down. Dave Gettleman, right. Leonard Williams has him by the balls in every sense
Leonard Williams
of his contract
didn't give up. Leonard Williams didn't give up a third-round pick. The Giants did.
Right.
But also, like, people don't understand. Like, they're so caught up with, like, how much he can make per year that they're missing the fact that if Leonard Williams were to hit the free agent market, and let's say the Giants didn't tag him, he would not have gotten, I don't believe, he would have gotten 16.1 guaranteed in the first year of any contract he signed. Right? He would have got some guaranteed dollars.
Right. I agree with that.
But he would not have gotten 16.1 guaranteed in 1 year. Like, that not would have happened. So he already has that. Let's say he plays below what we've seen him, right? And let's say he's awful and he's injured half the year or whatever, right? He's still in line at 26, top five pick. I believe he had a Pro Bowl year 1 year. He's only 26. He's still going to get, at that point, between 5 and 10 million guaranteed, whether it's a 1 year deal, 2 year deal, whatever. Point being, there's no reason for Leonard Williams to sign a long term deal with the Giants if they're not guaranteeing him between, at least, if they're not guaranteeing him more than 2 years worth of his annual contract, meaning if they're not guaranteeing him more than $32 million per year. It just doesn't make sense for him because he's already guaranteed 16 and he can guarantee himself another 10 to 15 next year if he hits the free agent market and he plays just like the type, if he plays just like he's played the last couple years. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So Leonard Williams, not only does he have all the leverage, it doesn't make sense for him to sign a long-term deal with the Giants right now because he's already exceeding what he would make on a long-term deal in the first year right now by making 16.1. And yes, you want the long-term insurance and blah, 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 blah. But how much is he really, gambling right now with, right? At the very minimum, he's gambling $5 million, right? Because where would if he gets 20 million guaranteed over 2 years, well, 16.1 he's getting right now, so he's really gambling $5 million, $4 million. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't make sense for him from a financial perspective to sign a long-term deal with the Giants unless they're guaranteeing him at least 32 to 35, 40 million guaranteed. So yeah, you do shoot for the stars. You do say I want 18 million per year. You do look at some of the highest paid defensive tackles and say I want that kind of money if I'm going to sign a long-term deal.
Yeah.
And the Giants are pretty much screwed with it. And people are saying, well, you don't want to double down on your mistake. Yeah, you're right. You don't want to double down on your mistake, and it's better for the Giants not to cave to his ridiculous contract demands. But they've, in a sense, already exceeded his contract demands by guaranteeing him $16.1 million this year. So they're already screwed in that sense.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
I don't really need to say much more, honestly. I mean, people know that I hated the trade. I don't like the player. I don't think it was very good value. I don't think whatever contract he gets is going to be worth it for the Giants. I think he fills a role that they already have. And bottom line is the Giants need pass rushers that can get to the quarterback, record sacks, not just a few pressures or almost get there. And Leonard Williams just doesn't get there. He is a big run-stuffing defensive lineman, and the Giants already have that. 10 times over.
The funniest thing about this Leonard Williams situation, right, and I've noticed this over the course of the last couple days, or a couple weeks actually, is obviously Dave Gettleman has a lot of friends in the media, right? Some specific people that he likes to reach out to when he needs them to do his dirty work, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Dave Gettleman isn't the only one. There's a lot of GMs that do this, but and head coaches and players. But is the shift from Leonard Williams is an integral part of the Giants' long-term plans to the Giants shouldn't sign him to a long-term deal because he's not as impactful as some of the other guys making top dollar. And it's just funny to me that I've seen the same people that were touting him as a part of the future and Dave Gettleman believing in him and blah, 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 blah to, maybe they shouldn't sign him to a long-term deal. And there's a couple of guys, and I'm sure people can figure it out because they read the same stuff I read. It's just pretty funny seeing that whole
narrative,
the whole dynamic, yeah, switch. And it is, today is July 11th. There's about 4 more days remaining, and it doesn't seem like a long-term deal is going to be reached, but we'll see what happens. Sometimes these things have a way of working themselves out at the buzzer.
Yeah. All right. What else besides Leonard Williams, DeAndre Baker?
We've talked about football and how, you know, the Giants, but the big question right now is that, is there going to be a football season?
Yes. Right?
And I just want to say something, right? Like, this whole coronavirus thing, it's been so politicized. It's almost insane. Like, yes. Everybody, like, people, do I think that there are certain people that are, and I say this with caution, are there certain people that are using the coronavirus to sort of impact the election? Yes. Do I think there are certain people that are downplaying the coronavirus to help their party's chances in the election? Yes. But in the end, this is a fucking pandemic, okay? And 130,000 people have died. People are getting sick at an alarming rate. Sports is a big question mark, right? Like, I saw a quote that said, sports is the reward of a functioning society.
Very true.
Now, I don't know about you, Ethan, but to me, a society that's averaging between 600 and 800 deaths per day and 50,000 to 60,000 people getting sick per day or testing positive for a highly transmissible disease per day, that's not really a functioning society, no matter how much people want to make it out to be. Now, that's just my opinion. With that said, you look at parts of the country that are dealing with this virus and are seeing sort of, you know, those positive rates go up, and you guys know the states, I'm not going to repeat them. A lot of those states have multiple football teams in them. I just don't see how by the end of the month, training camps can open safely. And I just don't see how in, what are we, July 11th, in 2 months, we can play a football game and get guys prepared to play a football game. I don't see it. Not with what's going on around the country. Now, things can change, right, between now and September. But training camps are supposed to start at the end of the month. And maybe it's safe for the Jets and the Giants to come and hold a training camp in their facility. But is it safe for the Miami Dolphins? Is it safe for the Dallas Cowboys? Is it safe for the Arizona Cardinals? I can't say that right now. So that's a big problem. And if you can't start training camp on time, then you got to wonder, can I start the regular season on time? Right? Because you got to go through a training camp. You got to get these players ready. You know, the Giants have a new coach. They haven't even held a practice yet. You know, like, you can't just start the season without a training camp. So I do believe there's going to be football in 2020. They're going to try to play football in 2020. I have my doubts of it starting on time.
And okay, so that's your take. It sounded like you were about to say you didn't think that there was going to be football, period.
Well, I don't think there's going to be a college football season right off the bat, and I don't think the NFL is going to start on time. But I have my doubt. Like, I don't think that – the way we're headed right now, I don't think that it's a guarantee that even if we started on time, we'll finish. Because, like, look at – like, deaths are rising again. Positive tests have been rising. So it's – and they're in states that have multiple football teams. Like, Florida has 3 football teams, right? You know, Texas has 2 football teams. California has 2 football teams, right? 2, right? 3, I'm sorry. San Francisco, I forgot about them.
Yep.
So, like, you're talking about almost half the league impacted, or half the league in states that are, you know, seeing a huge increase in cases and potentially deaths. I mean, I look at it every day and I see death numbers starting to rise. So it's like, yeah, if it doesn't, I don't think it can start at the end of the month. So, like, if you don't start at the end of the month, when do you start it? Like, do you have training camp in September? Are we sure in September it's going to be safe enough? So, like, the more you move it back, the more doubt that comes to my mind about, okay, are we actually going to play football in 2020? So, it's just a huge uncertainty with me, and I just don't see how some of these teams can start training camp at the end of the month. I don't see it.
it's definitely interesting because a lot of people will point to a few different instances, I guess, and some that I even brought up and I'm guilty of bringing up at the beginning of the show. You look at Europe and how all the soccer teams are playing right now, but on the other side, they have also squashed the curve, right? So they don't have the same amount of risk of another massive outbreak that the United States does. Outside of that, you have the TBT tournament, the NBA that's going into the bubble, but these are events with far fewer people, a much easier to isolate group because, you know, you bring them all to one city, you put them up in hotels, you quarantine them there, they're all playing, everyone's getting tested every day. And with football, you can't just have all these teams playing in one stadium for every Sunday. You're going to have teams that are traveling, you're going to have 53 on the active roster, plus the coaching, plus the medical staff. You're going to have a lot of people traveling. That's where it becomes difficult for me. Where I think, and it's not necessarily an advantage, but why I think football will get played is if you think about the fact that the average career span, call it, of a player is 2.5 years, and those are the players that aren't making the millions of dollars. They're on minimum contracts, they're practice squad players trying to make it. I think there's a higher sense of urgency for those players to get back on the field. I think the NFL is a machine when it comes to making money, advertising, merchandising, so on and so forth. I think that they'll try to force it through. I don't think it would be without any modifications. I know they already canceled the Hall of Fame game. I know there's been talks of making the preseason 2 games instead of 4.
They already made them.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know what's going to happen in terms of training camp schedules if players start testing positive. The product on the field is going to suffer, no doubt.
Especially in the beginning.
It's going to be some real ugly football. But the end of the day, for me, I'm optimistic because of what's at stake financially for some of these teams and for some of these players, and why I think that even if there are a few positive tests, there's going to be more than a few positive tests, I think they're just going to sort of force it through and get this season done. I think they have to.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think they're going to try to have a season, right? And I don't think it's... I think the NFL is headed toward a similar situation that baseball's had, right? Sure. Where you're going to have labor disputes, you're going to have sort of players that are not buying into the NFL's health protocols. You're already seeing it right now. And I think you're going to see some prominent NFL players opt out. Like, you talk about vet minimum guys that are trying to get as much as they can because, you know, the career span of an NFL player is 2.5 years. But, like, take Von Miller, for example, right? Plays in Denver, you know, the high altitude. He's a guy that has asthma. I know he already tested positive for COVID, but he could be a guy that potentially, you know, says, I don't think I'm going to play. Or any other player that has health, you know, has asthma or any type of...
Or guys with big contracts already on teams that aren't even expected to compete.
Right, right. Like, and I don't, there's somebody that has a family member that has, you know, that is a high risk person, right? Like someone has a wife or a child that has pre-existing health conditions that doesn't think it's safe for them to hop on a plane and go from, you know, New York to Texas and play the Cowboys and go to Dallas, where it's a state that's seeing, you know, so many new cases and so many deaths, unfortunately. Like, you can see people do that, right? Like, yep. You can see players do that. And if you start to see that, then it's like, okay, not only the product going to suck, but to me, the breaking point for the NFL would be if, like, a prominent starting quarterback opts out. Like, at that point, you'll be like, okay, well, now what? You know, like, if you're going to see, players are going to opt out of playing. Players that have made money are going to say, you know what, it's just not worth it right now. Especially players that play in areas where they don't have the coronavirus under control. And if you start to see that, at that point, the NFL, it will never cancel it, but people are going to be like, okay, like, is this, like, the product is going to suck, and now this season is pretty much tainted because these quarterbacks have decided not to play.
Yep.
And then during the season, let's say you kick it off, and let's say See, like, with the NBA, like, you brought up the NBA bubble, right? It's only going to be for max probably 2.5 to 3 months. Like, I think if you make it to the finals, would be two teams. You're gonna be in Florida or in Orlando until I think October the mm-hmm. latest, or September the latest. I don't have to look at the schedule, but a lot of these teams will be max be in the bubble for a month and a half. Then they'll be gone, right? The NFL, if you're gonna bubble these guys, you probably got to start bubbling them now. So you're talking July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February. So you're going to be bubbled for at least 4 to 5 months. And then if you make the playoffs, 6 to 7 months, right? Like, you cannot do that. Plus, you cannot find,
it's just not
I don't
possible.
Think there's anywhere in America. You can't find a place in America that you can bubble these guys.
That's what I'm saying. That's impossible. Like, even with baseball, it might be possible because you can have a bunch of different baseball stadiums within, like, right? Like, I would think I was using Las Vegas as an example when I was just doing research on the possibility of having a season. Like, Las Vegas has, I think, 4 to 5 professional baseball stadiums, or like major league sized baseball stadiums in the city and the surrounding area. So in theory, you could put, like, I don't know, half the league there and half the league in another city, and it works, right? With the NFL, that's just not the case, unless you're going to have guys playing at like high school stadiums, which is never going to happen.
No, but like, even if guys buy in, right? Like, let's say we'll do it. The majority says we'll go into the bubble, right? Where can you find that? You would have to go to, like it's almost like the NFL would have to go to New Zealand, right?
It doesn't exist. That's what I'm saying.
Or Canada. Like, you have to go to Canada. It's not, there's no bubble like environment for the NFL big enough it's not possible. So you have to take the approach of playing in your home stadiums and guys traveling. So you could alter the schedule. You could say, okay, the NFC East teams play the AFC East teams this year, or the AFC North teams, or whatever. And you could do it like that, so you don't have teams flying across the country, right? But at the end of the day, you get to the playoffs, right? And it's like the Dallas Cowboys have to travel to San Francisco to take on the 49ers, or the Philadelphia Eagles have to travel to Tampa Bay to take on the Bucks, or something like that. And it's like, well, you can't alter the schedule there, right? Yeah. So I don't know, man. I definitely think they're going to try to start it on time. And again, I brought up the whole politicizing thing because I'm not trying to politicize this thing. I'm looking at it face value. I'm looking at the data. I'm looking at what's happening. Science. Yeah, like, I'm looking at the science of it, right? And NFL season is 16 games. If a player tests positive, he's out for at the minimum 2 weeks, right? Like,
and then so, that's assuming the virus doesn't hurt him. Like, hurt his lungs, or he doesn't have he's right. asymptomatic, rather, right?
Right.
Imagine if someone gets it like Freddie Freeman had it for the Atlanta Braves, where he sounded so terrible on the phone that a guy like Nick Markakis, who's already made a lot of money in his career, said, you know what, this isn't worth it, right? You can have players that are out for half a season at least.
Like, let's say there's an outbreak on a team where only, let's say, two or three players test positive. And the rest of the NFL team is like, I'm not playing, right? Like, I can see the damage that it's doing. I don't want to play, right? So all these things have to be taken into account. And I just have a tough time seeing how the NFL can start training camp at the end of the month and then start on time and then expect everything to go smooth. Like, you would need serious discipline from the players because you're not going to be putting them in a, you're not going to be, they're not going to be in a bubble. So they're going to have to be sort of, the NFL will have to enforce some type of stay-at-home order for players where it's like, you practice, you play a game, you go home, and you don't come in contact with a lot of people. And I think that's hard to do, and I'm not sitting here saying NFL players should do that. I'm just saying these are the type of things that the players are going to have to buy into for them to have a season. And I don't know, man. It's tough to see what's happening. I hope, the only thing I'm really hoping for is that we can expedite this vaccine process and we can get the vaccine. But even that, if you expedite it, I mean, at the earliest, we're talking the end of the year. So I don't know, man. And the
Operation
NFL can't
warp speed.
Yeah, it's just tough, man. I don't know how the NFL is going to pull this off, but I will say a lot of it is going to be on, the NFL is going to be watching closely how baseball does. Right,
sure.
And if baseball is able to pull it off with minor hiccups, then the NFL might feel more confident. But It's tough, man, and it's definitely not business as usual, like the NFL is trying to make it out to be. And I'm worried. I'm very worried about football. The Giants finally get a what I think is going to be a good offensive line, and we might not have football.
Yeah, brutal.
It sucks.
I think that's pretty much it. If we want to get into questions.
Yeah, let's get into questions.
True, true, true. Let's start with this one from Jayhawk. This is more of a lighthearted question. Every year, my fantasy league determines our draft order by doing March Madness brackets. Obviously, with that not going on, do we have any suggestions for him on how to pick the order of their fantasy football draft?
Fantasy football is going to be interesting this year because people are going to, like, not only do you have to worry about your player not getting injured, you have to worry about your player not testing positive.
Exactly.
So I'm going to be building my fantasy football team based on culture. Football guys. Guys that I know won't put themselves in a position to, you know, to test positive for the coronavirus. Like, I'm not going to draft, I know he already tested positive, but hypothetically speaking, like, I wouldn't have drafted Ezekiel Elliott. Because every year there's videos of Ezekiel Elliott partying somewhere. I'm gonna stay away from players that play in states where coronavirus is skyrocketing. So it's gonna take a lot of work. You're gonna have to be doing more details, but hey, this is life of a GM, man. This is the stuff you gotta do, right? You gotta dig deep.
I love it. You have any draft suggestions for him?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't want to give somebody the wrong advice.
Well, I forget who told me this. Someone told me that they're using the MLS tournament to determine draft order, which I thought was a good idea. One another good idea I've heard is to they're like online horse racing simulators, and you can just randomly assign a horse to everyone and have them race, and that's one that you can very easily do over like Zoom or a screen share.
Well, so what we did ideas. Was. We had like a Wheel of Fortune type thing. Short story. I was in a NBA 2K tournament about a month ago, and I was the Milwaukee Bucks. Luckily, I was able to get them, and you know, basically 16 guys, and we spun a wheel. And if you landed first, you get to pick a team. And I was about the third person, and Clippers and Lakers were taken right off the bat, and I was struggling between Houston and Milwaukee. Now, Houston's really good in 2K. You can have a lot of shooters. It's really fun to play with them. Small ball, it's great. But Giannis is unstoppable, so I picked the Bucks. Now, the way we picked it is there's online, it's like a Wheel of Fortune thing where you write names in, and you spin a wheel, and if it lands on you, you get to pick. And I think you can do that with fantasy football, too. Put all your names in the bucket. They spin it. It lands on you. There's like a big congratulations. You see confetti pop up on your computer screen. It's awesome. It's like the NBA draft lottery, you know. So I would use that method.
Love it. Okay.
Or you could do what David Stern did and rig it. You could do that, right?
Rig it in your favor. Yeah. But yes, those are some suggestions. Are you guys from? Liam, I think. I don't know. You guys got to like make it more clear with your handle name versus your display name. Are you guys comfortable with the wide receiver depth?
I am. I do think that Darius Slayton is going to improve. Sterling Shepard's health is a concern, and Golden Tate. So I'm not going to say I'm worried about it. I mean, it's definitely if there are injuries, if Sterling Shepard gets another concussion, then yeah, we're fucked. But I'm not trying to think that way. I think let me rephrase. Every position is a concern for me because of this coronavirus. Like, I'm sorry to go back to it, but it's like if a player tests positive, you know, whether it's a receiver, a lineman, D lineman, it's going to be a blow to the Giants. So, starter. So, yeah, I am worried. But if there was no coronavirus, I would say I'm fairly comfortable. But there's the Sterling Shepard thing where he's another concussion away from probably retiring.
Yeah.
But I'm not like overly concerned about it.
Yeah, I think there's other position groups on the team I'm obviously more concerned about. But like you said, Sterling Shepard's one bump on the noggin away from retiring. I've always been of the belief that Golden Tate's overrated, and you never know if Darius Slayton's going to repeat his performance, plus Engram's injury history. It's definitely a shaky group. You know, I think I just talked myself into being a little bit concerned, but I think there are other groups that I'm more nervous about.
Cornerback now, I'm very nervous.
Very
about.
Concerned, yeah. What does Dan, this is from Kyle, what does Daniel Jones need to do next season to take the next step?
I want to see him cut down on turnovers. I think you want to see the improvement there where he's not, the fumbling goes down. But it's really tough for Daniel Jones right now because, again, he hasn't really had time to, you know, really hasn't spent much time with Jason Garrett, the new offensive coordinator. So it's tough. It's a tough spot for him. But I would say, I mean, right off the bat, the turnovers, the fumbles, that's where the major area of concern is. But you just, it's tough to put a lot on him right now because of, given the circumstances that we're facing.
Yeah. From Stan, what do you think the conversations are behind closed doors in the Giants organization about the Baker situation?
I mean, I think they're smart by letting the legal process play itself out. Like, but I think they, like, you see it, I see it, I think everyone sees it. Like, if this is true that he did pay people off, then you can pretty much say they're done with him and that his career is over. But I think even if he gets out of this and they bring him back, right? Like if the charges are dropped, or we've seen crazy things happen in the legal system, or if the president pardons him, you know, and he's able to play football, I think he's going to be on a short leash regardless. And he's not going to be on the good side of the coaching staff. And the fact that he was a first round pick, you can just throw it out that window behind you and say, okay, I mean, there's no guarantee this guy is going to be a Giant for the long haul.
Sure. Let's end with this one from Art Stapleton, our good friend. List your top four cookies.
My top four cookies.
Yeah. This is a tough one because you can go with the classics. I happen to think that Chips Ahoy is very underrated.
I hate Chips Ahoy.
You hate? What the hell is wrong with you?
Ah, man, I don't like it. I guess I had a bad experience one time. I bought a box of Chips Ahoy and I opened it and the cookies were stale.
Oh, well, that
sucks. It was terrible. Yeah. I'm a big Oreo guy. Does that count? That counts as a cookie, right?
Of course, dude. Oreos are cookies.
Yeah.
I would put Oreos and Chips Ahoy up there. I tweeted about Tate's yesterday. Tate's is delicious. I feel like I need a soft cookie in there, so I'll throw Mrs. Fields in the mix.
Mrs. Field, oatmeal raisin, and white macanuda. Best cookies, man. I love those cookies. And
amazing.
Oreos, three. And fourth is, you're going to laugh, but Subway has this awesome peanut butter cookie.
Subway cookies are actually pretty good. Subway as a brand is trash. I hate Subway, but their cookies are very
good. Their peanut butter cookies are spot on. And the Subway near my house, they're constantly making fresh cookies. So, like, every time I have Subway, like, the lady knows, like, hey, I want a peanut butter cookie. And she's always, like, makes it fresh right there for me and gives it to me.
That's great. All right, I think that's it. Any parting words before we end the show?
No, I'm very excited for sports to come back. I've been deprived of sports for too long, and I'm ready for it to come back, and hopefully we can have a football season, and we can continue doing these episodes more often and actually talk about football and players getting arrested.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to be talking more about football than criminal behavior.
Yes.
All right, that's it. Let's wrap it up. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me, Ethan GSN. Weiss is NYG Daily. The blog is Gotham SN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate 5 stars, leave us a kind review. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Peace.